Are you just sitting there, Aunt Tisa?
I'm waiting for you.
I can't hear you. Oh, there. Are we ready?
Yes, we are ready, Shanti
Okay. Look at the tulips. Madhu always brings the flowers, and they're very, very beautiful. It looks like spring. It's not spring yet. It's still winter, but it feels like spring. So we have a little satsang today. And tomorrow we'll be headed to India. We're going to go to Barcelona overnight, get on the plane the next day, and be there real soon. I have a little bit to say, a little bit. So if you have any points or insights or questions or anything that you want to present in the satsang, you can begin to raise your hand whenever you're ready. I was looking at uplifting, in the Bhagavad Gita, because we're looking at the Gita, right? We're looking at the Gita, and we'll probably be looking at the Gita for the next few months, several months. It's every word that Krishna says in the Gita is of great importance, every word. And one of the points that he makes that I feel people could move along that instruction and really begin to see things from a different view. And Krishna says in the Gita to always lift oneself up and never put oneself down. Not even in your mind. Because when you put yourself down, you'll have to lift yourself up and up and down and up and down. But when you see yourself for what you, who you truly are, a divine being, a mystery, the truth within every being, existence, the grace of life, this idea of ego, of which there is no such thing except for in the realm of ideas, and it's a very strong idea because people move along those actions profoundly and look through the eyes of ego. Oh, that's so, it's my ego. Oh, it's somebody else's ego. Look how egotistic they are. It's a divisive vision. And when we cease to acknowledge ego, we can still see the actions of ego all over the world. But there's no such thing. There's no such little character that follows you around and takes responsibility for all of your foibles. I don't have an ego. I've never met him or her. I haven't put it to bed at night and fed it in the day and acknowledged it in anyone. Now, I might have egoic action sometimes. I pray I don't. But I might. When you see God's creation as all of existence, and you uplift yourself through observing life, without comment, just as a great practice, where you might comment before, you don't comment this time. You just breathe it away. Or that your opinions are very, very thin and insubstantial and may change. or that you, my connection is very unstable, it says, or that you will come to a neutral and compassionate place where you used to be angry, frustrated, or enter the drama. These are uplifting. These are uplifting. And your consciousness, well, consciousness is not yours and it never expands. It's already a huge expanse. We come to see from a greater view, let's put it that way. And I ran into a point the other day about, let's just talk about observing life without comment, without saying somebody's good or bad, no matter what they're doing, without commenting on their personality or their smallness or their greatness or any of that. We simply observe in silence and be present. I came across this point the other day where just in that practice alone, or that way of being, I would prefer to call it that way of being rather than a practice. There is information and information. And it's packed, like observing is packed with incredible potential to be at peace or to see from a broader scope or to be still and observant or to give somebody a break or not to come in too quick and respond. So there's a lot of information in simply observing, and there's a lot of information. Means you have liberated yourself from your opinions, your judgment, your side, these ideas of sides, and all of this duality. Just dissolves in front of you and you're present. That's an information because otherwise we're always out somewhere else doing something else with our thoughts and la 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 in the future, in the past, what we want, what it should be. So the information is simple presence. There, that's a wonderful, wonderful way to live. So each and every way to non-duality, to non-judgment, to freedom from dramas and deciding how people are or are not, each one of those kind of qualities of kindness, compassion, generosity, observing, each one of them are uplifting and have a lot of information and information packed right into the experience. I've told the Sangha for years that breath meditation has incredible stories. It has creation stories, it has coming and going stories, it has birth stories, it has death stories, it has impermanence stories, it has involuntary functioning stories, it has all kinds of stories right there in the breath. And when you're with the breath and meditation, there's all kinds of information and information, and you really and truly are uplifting yourself simply by being at peace. You don't have to think of yourself as the grand master of the universe to uplift yourself. You just stop the inner talk of how not good I am. You just stop it. And it's called liberation. And anytime you find yourself complaining about yourself, complaining about your life, belittling yourself, belittling other, you just breathe it away. And it takes practice. It really takes repetition again and again and again and again. But anything that's worth anything takes repetition. So every act of kindness, every act of observing in a generous sense that I'm not going to complain about this person right now, or I'm not going to lift them to the sky. I'm going to just be here with them 100% as they are. Every action of compassion and love and generosity and presence will uplift you just by being in that quality. And I was just saying to someone recently, just today, when you really love someone, like your mate, like your partner, like your husband, like your wife, like your children, like your mother, like your father, like your brother, like your sister, like your neighbor, like your cousins. Never put them down. And if they are acting in some self-negating manner, which is not good for them, you'll see it. And know that life is a teaching. In the ashram, this is the way to get through. In Sachidam, this is the way to get through to everyone. It's just simply to love them. And there are plenty of actions in the ashram we could call egoic. No, life is a teaching. I don't go for the ego, because once you establish an ego, you have dissolved God in it. There is only God. There is no separation. That's not just a statement. It's a very powerful and subtle transmission of heart to heart. Always, always be kind to the one you love. And as I said, if they're into some kind of strange activity or drama or self-negation, don't participate. Just love them and find out what that means. Yeah? Just find out what it means. And as I was saying, in Sachidam, it's the only way to get through to everyone is that they know that you love them with all of your heart and all of your soul, whether you agree with them or not. So uplift yourself through the qualities that you have, which are called compassion, observing life without comment. That's called silencing the thought stream or letting it go by. Through love, through appreciation for the bond that you have in the heart with someone, And it's not that you won't have an argument or a disagreement, but you will always return to love immediately. And know that life is a teaching. It's very, very important. I'm ready for anyone who might have. Gabrielle, there she is. That's really nice, Gabrielle, that you didn't raise your hand before, even though you could have, but you raised your hand now. Can we have Gabrielle? Gabrielle, are you going to India?
I'm not.
Okay.
Max is there awaiting you.
Oh, that's right. Max is there. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So what you just said just comes together with what I was thinking about and taking in today. I took some notes from the second part of the sixth chapter. Mm-hmm. And exactly these things you mentioned were what I took notes about, where Krishna talks about ceasing to identify with all this and that, and self-identification is only possible through repetition of being aware of the self with a big S. And I don't know, something completely landed with me today's experiences I had in meditation meetings with Adhikari, where things start deepening, and there are moments when I look at others, I realize what's looking back at me is what's looking out of me. So things like that. And then there was something you said, that to be spiritual, you don't have to look a certain way, do certain things, mimic whatever anybody else is doing, that right. It's self-discovery.
Yes.
And also, probably not for the first time I heard this from you, but it totally landed, and it reminded me that I used to be someone who always tried to be assimilated, to just don't stand out, do what the others do, because I always stood out and I never really fit in the way I experienced my life. And so it just hit me today when I heard you saying that, and I took the note that it really isn't about what gesture I make or what the way I dress, or that's just so unimportant.
Right.
It's really not that. It's what happens inside and what I do for that. My that's, commitment.
That's right. And what you learn from it, and when you learn from it, because you know it so well, it's really a memory. It's not something new that you're learning like a piano piece. It's really memory. When you come to see something clearly, and Durga and I were speaking today about seeing, we see with our ears, we see with our intuition, we see with our fingers, we see with the wind, we see with our body, we see with our heart. When we see a memory that uplifts us, if it uplifts us, it uplifts everyone. We don't toss it aside for habit. We go with it. We go with it like a leaf floating down the Ganges, because we know it will, that realization, there must be a million billion countless realizations, that realization will take us to where our heart is asking us, so to speak, poetically speaking, to be.
Yes. And Well, this self-realization and self-discovery, it somehow knit together for me today. It just it belonged together, this self-discovery, also with the big S. I realized that it started to just become, everything became bigger, wider, in my, let's say, understanding.
Yes, the scope is without border. Very, very important. And what is really, 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 really beautiful is that what you discover in yourself is true in everyone. So all of the dualities unfold, all of the divisions. Well, I am me and you are you, but self-discovery reveals that what is within you is within me. And the neighbor and the politicians and the war and the glory and the children and the animals and the grass and the trees and the forest and the moon and the sun and every grain of sand and the ocean.
And that is really, really that is really the big chunk of,
yes,
just little by little, step by step, because that is really difficult as long as it is not a practiced way of seeing.
Yes, but let us say it's not difficult. It's true. Actually, in the seventh chapter, Krishna talks about the difficulty. Let us not call it difficult. Let us just move along. My view of calling things difficult makes them difficult.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
And sometimes it moves with such ease, it's unbelievable. Like today, in your experience, it just falls into place. So, poetically speaking, in other words, your memory is fertile.
Yes. Might take a peek at the seventh chapter now.
Yeah, I will. I put out part one, only 28 minutes, but that'll probably go out once I get in Delhi. Once I get into Delhi, that'll probably happen.
Yeah. Good, looking forward to it.
Yeah, because Shri is the one that publishes them. So, yes. I love the Gita.
Yes.
It's such an amazing document. My God. And he just repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats. And repetitive is really important. How often do we repeat negations? Or how often do we repeat this? Or we repeat that?
Just
Or how
thoughts, everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's... So we slow that down by another repetition. We're actually changing one habit for another. And one habit which keeps us in the loop of ignorance, and one habit which is receptive to revelation. Namaste.
Namaste, Shanti. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. Well, you know that. If we
nice
ever go
to
back
it.
To India, you better come next time.
We're going to have to chat about that.
Okay.
Next time I see you.
You sit next to me on the plane.
Who knows?
Have you ever been to India?
No.
Oh, you'd love it.
I'm not sure I would.
Oh, I'm sure that you would. I'm absolutely positive that you would absolutely fall in love.
So much would have to change in me, Shantimai, for that to become true. I'm very curious
Not
to
even a
see that
little
happen.
bit. No, not even a little bit. Namaste.
Namaste.
Gilad, how are you?
I'm okay.
How
Yes.
is it in Israel?
It's very sad. Energy really not good all over.
I bet.
Yeah. And of course, the war in the two sides is really hard all
Yeah.
over. And the families that people have kidnapped and all other difficult world that happened
I'm very sorry
all
to hear,
over. Yeah.
but we know it. We know it. We know it. We know it very well. How are you doing in all of that?
I must say I'm doing good, very well. I'm a lot with myself, very quiet. I daily go inside. Sometimes I cannot do meditation, but I do pranayama, I do other exercise, and it's important to me to be in a good, a lot in the nature.
Pranayama is meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes.
He said pranayama too.
Yeah.
In nature. Oh, Madhu's adding, I'm sorry, Madhu's adding over here that nature is also meditation. She's absolutely 100% on.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I do a lot of pranayama.
Good.
It's very important to me to stay clean as possible. I don't know if it's the right word, clean, but not to get involved in the very bad energy.
Well, breath has a lot to do with peace. Regulating breath has a lot to do with peace. As a matter of fact, you can't have peace without regulating your breath. And when you have peace, if you'll notice, your breath is regulated automatically. Good for you. So,
So
what's on your heart for
I
coffee?
just wanted maybe to say two, three short things. First of all, to wish you and everybody wonderful time in India. It was also very important to me to reach India and to meet you, but I don't feel I can leave the place in this moment.
Yes.
So I stay here. Maybe if something will become more open, free, I will come to the next half month that you are there. But I don't see it in this moment.
Okay.
But I'm open to it. And I will come sometime to your place. I cannot say now because I really don't know where it's going and so on.
We'll wait for you.
But I miss, and I know it's very important for me and for other that to me. I feel very strong to continue to develop and to become more and more accurate
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and connected.
Well, you cannot be disconnected. You can, there's no such thing as disconnected. So, but that you will pursue the spirit of your heart and soul in the middle of a war zone is very wonderful.
Yeah.
I imagine there are some people who are doing, well, doing, who are in the same spirit there. That's absolutely heartwarming. It's quite wonderful. I don't think you could have a harder challenge than to retreat in the middle of a war and discover spirit within you. And powerful, very powerful, Gilad. I love you, you know?
I love you too.
I know, I know. I know you do.
And
You
look wonderful. I looked at it today.
Oh, isn't it great? The house is bright pink. The name of the paint color is Wild Party.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had one called Jealous Bride. And this one's called Wild Party. And I say, well, okay. The whole ashram will be really beautiful when we're done.
And I plan to be as much as possible. If will be transmission while the satsang will be, I will take time as much as I can for be with you people.
Great. We're going to be in satsang on Sunday. We'll see if we can do it from India. We want to. Okay. Namaste.
All the best to all of you. A lot of love.
Thank you. Lots of love to you too. And God bless you, and God bless everyone in that situation that you're in. Namaste. Peter and Kika.
Hi. My cat. Oh, I put the microphone on and the camera went off. How can that be? Is any of it working?
Yeah, your voice is working.
Okay. it's once again the Gita, and ever since chapter 4, what's been resonating with me particularly is action in inaction and inaction in action.
And I
see how, I mean, I think my whole life I've been very active sort of person, and had identified with that. Yeah, identified with me, with my actions.
Of course.
And
everybody does.
Yeah. So that then there was a little bit, if I'm in action, inactive, I was feeling, you know, a little uneasy because there was no action going on. This brings the two together. And
well, Peter, hold on now. There's no bringing the two together. They're always together.
Yeah, right.
Okay. There is inaction and action, and there is action and inaction. Absolutely, 100%. So they don't bring the two together. Whenever you're active, there is a stillness that is eternal, that is inseparable from the action.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, this is very important.
And the action in inaction,
well, that's.
I see. Yeah, I see it as the inaction is the action needed, as it were, at that.
Well, they're inseparable, but you know, it's like the masters do not act even when they're acting. Why? Let me ask you, does any character in a dream truly act?
No.
No. I'm just going to leave it right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It gives me such I don't know whether I can put it into words whether I've got the right words for it. But it really is a releasing and a broadening.
Absolutely. And Peter, I would stay with that for a while because the depth of what you're discovering is without bottom. And multifaceted. And it simply comes down to this. There is action and inaction. The masters never act. Why? Another way to view that is that the whole of creation is active through the imagination and dreaming of God. And no being acts independently of anything else. So that's inaction. And then there is inactivity, inactivity. And I like to say that one example for that could be birds flying through the sky, because without the inactive sky, the birds could not fly. Impossible. Without the emptiness of space, you could also go to the Heart Sutra for this and take a look at the Heart Sutra. Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. And you can see it. And if you just take things, Mr. Scientist Peter, if you just take things down to the subparticle where nothing exists within it, and yet all of this. We'll just leave it there. So when you cease to identify as, I don't like this term, the doer or the non-doer, there's a division for you. Krishna is very, very clear about acting without ownership. And when I'm weaving, I've said this already. When I'm weaving on the loom, I have, if I trace back the radiance, I have thank you to the forest, to the seed, to the mother of the tree, to the one who cut it, to the one who formed it, to the one who invented the loom. To the sheep, to the dyer, to the spinner. And I think it's really important to trace back the radiance sometimes, because we become the one who's doing the weaving, when in fact all of creation is involved in that weaving, including the sun and the rain. The clothes we wear, the food we eat. All of it. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's like a great garden. It's fragrant. What do you mean?
Yes, that
I knew you were out there somewhere with me. Do you remember the story of Maharaji and Baba? When Baba and Maharaji were sitting together? I love this story. It's really important story because Maharaji wasn't just mimicking what his master said. They were caught sitting together in meditation. And Baba said, Hans Raj, he says, do you see the stars of the night? And it was midday. And Maharaji said, I see them, Baba, I see the stars. He said, Hans Raj, forget the stars. He said, do you see that? Do you see that snow falling on the mountain? And Maharaji said, I see it, Baba. I see the snow on the mountain. He said, forget it, Hans Raj. He says, do you feel the cold? It's so cold, and it must have been 40 degrees. Maharaji says, I'm freezing, Baba. And he said, forget that. He says, it's so hot. Do you see the sun going down? It was midday. Maharaji said, Baba, the sunset is absolutely beautiful. And they were off together looking at these things. So there is emptiness in form and form and emptiness inseparably. I told Gilad that you cannot be, he says, connected. Forget connected. You cannot be disconnected. Forget connected. Don't think that you can do something to make yourself connected. It's impossible. Why? Because you've never been disconnected. You're breathing, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and your heart is beating and your blood is flowing and your thoughts are there and the world is spinning. Yeah, there's no such thing as disconnection. And there is absolute stillness and action. And there is absolute action and stillness inseparably. Go there again and again and again and again and breathe it in. And ask to see the story with your own eyes and cease to identify with anything that you think that you do of your own accord.
Thank you, Shanti Roy.
Oh, you're so welcome, Peter. Before we can do anything, a universe has to be dreamed of. That comes out of the emptiness. And inseparable, they're not two. It's so stunning. And we can't solve it. It just is that way.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Okay, see you later, Peter. Namaste. See you in India.
Yes.
Yeah. When are you coming?
19th.
19th.
So just over a week.
Okay, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Namaste.
Namaste.
So.
Namaste.
Namaste. Shimananda and Yashodhara. How are
namaste.
You?
Namaste. Yeah, good. Very good.
Good.
I wanted to share with you that how much it touched me today that you were saying it's not your consciousness. It is consciousness. And of course, I mean, I'm thinking, sure, I know that. But somehow it touched me as if it was like it's falling into my heart or I don't know what. But wow, thank you for that.
Yeah,
and at the same,
no, no, go ahead, please.
And at the same time, also this ego, not like I understand it as it is not make it an identity. And also that you say you throw God away.
Yeah.
As you are making that, throwing one to throw that away.
Yeah.
That's so clear. So, oh, wow. Yes.
Yes. Ego is activity that is separate and identified as high or low. God is everything.
Yeah, and that comes together with also what you say and start in the beginning with this being only friendly. with yourself.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Cease to put yourself down and don't build yourself up on a pedestal that is bound to fall. Just see God in your heart, period. That ought to do it.
And then you were just now saying we are always connected. And that also, it's just for us to remember at most what we can say, but we are connected.
There's no such thing as disconnect.
Yeah, I see that.
This is a crazy idea. I mean, when I say first, there has to be a universe dreamed by God, created, right? Everything in the universe that's made by this divine who knows who and who knows what but is, there is no such thing as disconnection or doing something to make yourself connected. I know that people feel that way. I know the feelings say that I feel disconnected or I feel connected. But the actuality of it is, forget it. Connected actually means two things coming together. There's no chance that two things are coming together. Everything is already perfectly what it is, inseparably from all else. Your nutrition comes from the sun. Your bath comes from the water. Your food comes from the earth. So does your body. Your mind is the divine spirit of experience and expression and cognition. You know, you really have to get that down.
It's like I feel I'm sinking into the universe with your
words.
Or
the universe is sinking into you. So both at once, like Peter was saying, huh? The Heart Sutra might be a really important look right now. You can get a good translation on the internet. Look at a few of them. That's only this long. I think it's 2 pages at the most. And take a couple translations and see which one really touches your heart. And the Heart Sutra is a very important sutra. I remember I showed Mithiji, old Swami in our ashram. I said, Mithiji, what do you think of the Heart Sutra? And I handed it to him. And the next day he said, whoa, this is very advanced. And I thought, no. Okay, it's not very advanced. It's the fact of the matter. It's the fact of the matter. And you'll be able to read it one way, like the Gita. You'll be able to read it one way, and it'll nourish you in this way. And a year from now, you read it in another way, or 5 months from now, or another week from now, and it'll speak to you in another way. Because you're receptive to whatever it has to say. The Gita is so powerful. It's like the book of your molecules of creation. It's very, 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 very important. It's speaking about you. All scriptures are speaking about you. They're elaborated to tell you about what is true in you. Yeah, so there it is. Namaste, everyone. I'm going to say to Sirin Mira, she's going to be next. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste. How are you?
I am good. Yes. How are you?
Perfectly fine, even though I'm not feeling perfectly fine. I'm perfectly fine.
Okay.
Going to India, big trip ahead. Anyhow, go ahead.
Yes, I'm excited for your trip. I'm following what is happening in the ashram. I saw the beautiful
Beautiful.
pictures. Yes, it is so beautiful. It's
Yeah.
right now with the new painting.
We have an excellent team of people. That would be Sahara and Arjuna and Antisa, and there's some others who are stopping by. Who is that? Suruj
Yes.
and
Miguel.
Chaitanya and Max and who else?
Miguel.
Miguel. There's just a wonderful, wonderful group of people. And if I've forgotten anyone, I will look you up tonight and not forget you. Go ahead.
I just want to let you know that the birth is coming soon. Now I am 34 weeks pregnant. It is going well in general. I began to feel more and more excited. I have a little bit of fear,
Oh, no, no,
but
no, no, no,
mostly I'm
no.
excited.
No, no, no fear. No fear. Not at all. It's all good. No, it's
Okay.
all wonderful. And you're going to go in and
Okay.
you're going to go into labor and you're going to go, ah. And as soon as that baby's born, you're going to say, let's have another one. Oh, did you say that you know what the sex of the baby is?
Yes, and her name will be, as you told me, Sophie.
I'm so glad. I'm so
Yes.
glad that you're going to name her Sophie. You know, when
Yes.
we had babies in our age, we never knew what the sex was until they were born.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for blessing the baby with this name. Yes, thank you.
It's a very important name.
Yes.
Sophia is just a beautiful, beautiful, meaningful name. And
Yes.
Sophie for short, huh?
It's short and it in Paris, and that's why we chose the name which is connected with France.
Ah, very good. Very
Yeah.
good. Very good.
Yes. So everything will go well then. Thank you. I hope so.
No fear, no worry. Just put it in the hands of God. I don't want to be fearful. I just want to be joyful. So make it so. Make it so. Okay.
Thank you, Shantimai. Thank you very
Oh,
much.
I love you very much. Now, how many weeks are you?
33, 34.
How many weeks do you have to go?
6, 7.
How many?
Six or seven.
Wow. I think this is a really wonderful experience.
Yes, it's amazing. I cannot believe what will happen. Yes.
Well, wonderful. You let me know when Sophie comes into the world.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank
Promise?
you.
Promise? Promise to let me know?
Yes, I promise. But I don't have your email. How I can let you know?
I don't know. But maybe you
Okay.
don't have my email address?
No, I don't have.
Ah, well, we'll get it to you. We'll get you my email address. You can ask Antisa or Will or Sahara, and they will
Okay.
work for you. Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Thank
Namaste.
you.
Namaste. We have no chanting today. And it looks like actually many people are already in India because I don't know. We have 101 participants. That's a good number. Yeah. So usually while the chant is going on, I'm looking in the gallery And this time I don't have that opportunity. So I'm going to say namaste to you. Bless our journey, please. We want you to bless our journey. And I'll see you next Sunday from Lakshmanjula. Namaste. Namaste.